Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we gather here this morning in your sanctuary of safety, and we thank you for the fellowship and the families that are here today. And we ask that you would strengthen us, and that you would restore us, and that you would inspire us with your amazing love that you have for us. And we ask you, Father, to please fill us with your peace, so that as we journey onwards, we would pour out your love and grace to others who have become before us and who you have put in our path. And we ask today that our souls would be able to catch the wind of the Holy Spirit to revive, to refresh, and to restore us with only the peace that you can give. In the blessed name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, as you join me today in God's Word, as we look in the Gospel of John in chapter 14, let me ask you this. What would it take for you to live a stable, secure, satisfied life? What would it take? Would it be financial security? Would it just be personal recognition so someone would value you? Would it be maybe stability of some relationships in your life or in your family? How about that calm and that peace in your home? Or would it be maybe good health that would give you peace? What would bring you happiness? What would bring you contentment in life? Would it be wisdom? Would it be intelligence? Maybe education. What would it take to give you that certain peace that is unmistakable and undescribable peace that settles into what the Hebrews call shalom? Shalom. You know, if you answered any of those that I'd mentioned earlier, financial success, public esteem or recognition or any of those, it'd be the wrong answer. I mean, those all sound good and all those sound that it would give us peace, but none of those individually, nor do I even believe any of those collectively, could truly bring a lasting peace in our life that we all need. Maybe you're feeling pressured. Maybe you're feeling measured and pushed and prodded and poked and dipped, maybe even dunked in life that we go through. And you're sitting there kind of just wondering, what happened? Things were going good, and all of a sudden this happened, where it blindsided you and it just took you by total surprise. Have you ever had one of those days? Maybe one of those weeks? I'm sure we all have had in here. Well, there's good news. And that is that the Lord Jesus Christ, he comes along with words of comfort and counsel to us. And in verses 25 and 26 of our passage today in John 14, this is what he says. He says, "These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be," what? "Fearful or afraid." So he promises as our birthright, as our inheritance, and as our legacy, as members of the family of faith, the family of God, Jesus promises us this wonderful, this glorious, this eternal and invisible yet unmistakable peace. The Apostle Paul, he called it the peace that passes all understanding. So that's good. It's good to know, it's good to read, it's good to believe, but how do we get this peace in our lives? Well, I believe, first of all, we have to recognize the God of peace. Recognize the God of peace. For Jesus said, "My peace I give to you." Because peace is one of the attributes of God, and because Jesus is God, He is then able to give us that divine peace in our lives. And before you or I can have peace or no peace in our heart, then we must know the Prince of Peace, and that is Jesus Christ ruling in us. You see, many believers believe in Christ, but since He does not rule within them, they don't experience what His peace gives to them. The Scripture calls Christ our peace. Christ is our peace. His presence in our lives can provide peace. Now, the peace that I'm talking about is not the peace of just being passively indifferent or the ability to be influenced by someone else to have that peace in your life, nor is it the kind of peace where you're just kind of detached from reality and just out there. Jesus says, "My peace I give to you." So now when you think of the peace of Jesus Christ, what an incredible peace that He possessed. Think about it. And you read through the Bible about His peace. One of the favorite stories in the Bible is when the disciples were on that boat in the Sea of Galilee, and the storm arose, as they often do, and suddenly and unexpectedly, and on that body of water, those disciples were fighting for their lives, trying to keep afloat in that boat. And they're straining against the oars, trying to row to shore. And Christ, He is asleep. He's asleep in the bottom of the boat. And they say, "Lord, do you not care that we're going to perish? That we're going to die?" But yet Christ, in the middle of that storm on the sea, experienced peace in His life. And so when the disciples were in a panic, you know, these guys were with Jesus. Now, it's one thing for us to have the Spirit of Christ. Blessed are those who have not seen yet believed. But these guys were with Christ Himself, and they were panicking. And so that tells us whenever we panic, we can learn from this. And also at a time when they didn't know how to feed the multitudes of people that had come to listen to Jesus. And Jesus, He was calm. And Jesus was cool. And Jesus was collected when He said, "Let's do this, guys." And He ended up feeding 5,000 people with just a couple of sardines and some crackers. He knew exactly what He was going to do. Even demoniacs, people that were filled with the devil who were running around cutting themselves and acting nuts and wild and crazy, they didn't frighten Him. And then when He encountered the enemy, Him very self, face to face, Jesus was still in total control. While they were in Gethsemane, Peter declared war on the enemies of Christ. But Jesus calmly faced those soldiers, and He peacefully surrendered. His trial, of course, we all know, was a mockery, and He moved from judge to judge, and He was decided by the Father above to be as the lamb before the shearers, and Pilate demanded that Jesus speak in His presence, and yet in the middle of His trial, Jesus was in control. Jesus had peace within Him. And then even on the cross, when men were blaspheming God and hurling insults and spitting and cursing around Him, when others were denying the Lord, He even said to His executioners, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And then when Jesus was offered a narcotic, which was intended to ease and to dull the pain of His death of the cross, Jesus refused it. Why? Because He wanted to maintain a clear and controlled conscious mind as He paid for our redemption on the cross. Jesus possessed indescribable and unmistakable peace. Isaiah the prophet, whom I read earlier, who spoke of the one who would come as the Prince of Peace, He said in Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17, he said this. He says, "And the work of righteousness will be peace, and the service of righteousness, quietness and confidence forever." You see, what he was saying is right living produces peace. That's not just churchy. It's true. It's in the Scripture. Matter of fact, in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1, it says, "The wicked flee when no one is pursuing, but the righteous are as bold as a lion." When we are in guilt, the peace in our life is disturbed. But when we're living according to God's plan, when we are living righteously, then our character produces this calmness within us. And so in contrast to that, the prophet Isaiah in chapter 57, verse 21 says, "There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked." And also in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 14, Jeremiah says, "They have healed the brokenness of my people superficially, saying, peace, peace, but there is no peace." No wonder Jesus said to us in his very words, "I give you peace, not as the world gives." It's not the peace of just escaping from reality or the peace of just taking substances and just trying to just go somewhere else other than reality. It's not a superficial peace like the peace of entertainment or the peace of just pleasure, just trying to get your mind off of the situation. All of that is what Jeremiah calls superficial. He's saying all of that may take care of it for a little bit, but it's not temporary. It's just temporary. Our real peace comes with Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. This is God's peace that He gives us. And I have discovered in my own life when self is in control and I want to take care of things, then there's a war, there's a struggle, there's a battle with peace. And many of you even here today fight those battles yourselves in your mind when things are just going crazy all around you and you're wondering what you're going to do. But when I give the Prince of Peace control of my life and control of my circumstances, things shift. And let me just add in here that this takes quiet time. You have to get yourself away to converse with the Father, to allow Him to enter the Holy Spirit and to bathe you and to soothe you, just as a child goes into a father's arms. Because it's one thing knowing about the peace of God, that He's taking care of you, but it's another thing to run to Him and to be caressed by the peacefulness of the Holy Spirit. Because you see, peace has nothing to do with outward circumstances, and it doesn't have anything necessarily to do with the circumstances that I'm in or you're in or the situations that we're having to deal with, but it has everything to do not with just the craziness that is swirling all around me of uncertainty, of anguish, of worry and fear, but rather what is going on inside of me. And inside of you as well. Because if you let those circumstances seep into your inner spirit, you're in for a wild ride that you don't want to be on. You know how roller coasters make you dizzy, and that's what these things do. And when I give Jesus control of my life, then His peace invades my soul. It literally invades it if you take time for it. Pastor Adam used the excuse last week of sometimes we say, "How you doing, Lord?" and keep walking by. We don't stop to hear how He is doing or what He is doing in our lives. And we have to do the same thing in order to get that peace. You have to break time away to experience that peace and the anointing of the Holy Spirit to cover you and bathe you and calm you down. And when you stop and you take time to pray and ask the Holy Spirit, what did Jesus call Him? The Comforter? What was it in our Advent reading today? Jesus is called the Comforter. The Comforter, to allow Him to comfort you will never experience it. Just like a child who's upset, and you want them to come to you so you can hug them and tell them it's going to be okay. But if the child just keeps crying and never comes to you, they may know that you're their mommy or daddy or whoever you are to them, but it's just that closeness, that intimacy makes a big difference. And to become open in our lives as a believer to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And that is when we begin to experience more and more His peace. I think the Holy Spirit has become so underrated by so many churches today that because they're scared of what the Holy Spirit will do in their lives. And the Holy Spirit's not meant to zap you, to make you feel guilty, to make you walk around in defeat all day thinking that you failed God in this or that. The Holy Spirit is the comforter to give us power. And Jesus said, "My peace I give to you." He is the source of our peace. He is the source of our strength. He is an ever-present help in time of trouble. But not only are we to recognize the God of peace, we're also to receive the gift of peace. It's one thing to know where the peace comes from, but to actually receive the gift of peace. And in verse 27 of our passage today, in John chapter 14, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you." This is the language of His legacy that Jesus leaves for us. Jesus says, "This is what I give you. I leave this with you. My peace I give to you." He didn't just tell His disciples and believers, "Man, this was a good ride. I'll see you later. I'm glad to get out of this place." He says, "I leave my peace with you." Now, what you or I could not achieve and could never achieve, peace with God and peace within Jesus has already been achieved for you and me. It's like Christmas time. If you got a gift up there and you don't pick it up, it'll stay under the tree. No one picks it up. It'll get donated. But when you go up to receive your gift, it's yours. And it's knowing the God of peace and receiving the gift of peace that we experience eternal life and the abundant life of our life with Christ. And that stability and that strength in our lives isn't just for the future. It's for today, today's purpose. In the book of Colossians, Paul spoke about this peace. Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, verses 20 through 22, he says, "And through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of the cross, and through Him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace," listen to that, "having made peace through the blood of the cross," verse 21, "and although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds," verse 22, "yet He has now reconciled you to in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before Him holy and blameless beyond reproach." He loves you that much. You see what's happening? Paul said Jesus has made peace by His blood on the cross, and that He died for our sins upon the cross. God is a holy God. God is pure. Our Father is pure and perfect and in His holiness. And in that holiness, we as man are separated from that and estranged because of sin and the sinful humanity in which we live in. We live in sinful humanity. We're separated from God's holiness. We're angry with God many times. We're divorced from a relationship with God. We want to just sometimes declare war on God. And man puts his puny fist in the face of God. And the separation that we have from Him, and that battle still exists as man's sin rebels against a holy God even today. So how can God, who is holy, receive man who's sinful, separated and alienated and abandoned from His holiness, who He so much desires to have fellowship with us? That's where we enter Jesus Christ, who came to earth in human flesh. God in human flesh, holy and pure and perfect. God came down to us. And in that holiness and in that righteousness, he went to the cross. And according to Psalms chapter 85, verse 10, kind of summarizes it. Scripture says, loving kindness and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. On the cross, when Jesus died, he declared war on sin and defeated the powers of death and hell. And with one hand, he took a holy God and the righteousness of God. With the other hand, he took sinful man and brought them together. And at the cross, righteousness and truth and peace kissed one another. You've always heard the term, you guys just need to kiss and make up. That's what happened. And that is the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ that enables us to have peace within with God now and forever because of what Jesus Christ has done for our lives. And that's why the cross is the weapon that God used to defeat the enemy and to declare eternal peace, God's peace. There's a lot of churches that don't like to have the cross in their church. It reminds them of the death and suffering. But that cross is a weapon against the enemy himself that Jesus Christ used to bring and restore our relationship with God. And you'll often notice in Scripture, grace and peace are offered as a salutation from the biblical writer, especially Paul. Grace and peace. It's always in that order. Grace and peace be unto you. Because, you see, before we can experience that grace, we have to know God's grace, God's gift, and eternal life and peace with God comes by receiving the grace that he gives us. For by grace, you and I were saved, and not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So if you want peace in your life, then receive the God of peace. The gift of peace. It's yours for the taking. Take it and receive it. And while it was free, and while it is free, it's not cheap. Because when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he later on the third day rose again and appeared to his disciples. And when he entered the room with his disciples, he held up his nail-pierced hands and showed them his side before the Roman soldier had poked him with a sword, as if to say, this is the side of my peace. And he held up his hand and he said, peace to you. And there on his hand, the hand of peace, with the nail prints in his hand, and it's because of the blood of his body on the cross that he paid the price on that cross at Calvary, that we can have peace with God and the peace of God that flows like a river in our lives. The river that flows as we, recognize the God of peace, and then we receive the God of peace. But then thirdly, we can have the guarantee of peace so that we can be confident and rest in the guarantee of peace. You want to know this peace? Because I know many of you in here have experienced salvation where you know Christ. You know the God of peace. You recognize the God of peace. And you've even received the gift of peace in your life. But at the same time, even though you may have received this gift of peace in your life, yet there may be no peace day to day. It's a day-to-day struggle with you. And there's disturbance in your life. So how does one rest in the guarantee of peace that Jesus promised, where you're just not on an up and down hill in your Christian life? In John chapter 14, verse 26 of our passage we read earlier, Jesus said that he will send the Holy Spirit, that he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance to you all things and that he said to both you and me. And that's why. Did you know that the Word of God brings peace? This is like a bunch of words to me. the Word of God brings peace, for in this Word of God, the principles of God's Word, we learn to live in harmony with God's Word. We live in harmony with God. It teaches us how to live in harmony with God, the Father, as well as with our other mankind, human folk that we have to live with on this earth. Turn in your Bibles, if you have them, to Psalms 119. It's a chapter all about the Bible, Psalms 119. It's worth turning to, maybe even marking to, marking in your Bible if you like marking in your Bible, which mine's just all marked up. I mean, this is a workbook for life, people. It's not something holy you buy at Mardell's and keep the pages pristine. This is your handbook of life. So you need to make notes as the Holy Spirit reveals them to you, so that when you read this passage years later in life, you can look at that footnote you wrote and remember, which helps in the guarantee of peace that God gives you. You see, the Word of God is an owner's manual, isn't it? I mean, if you own and drive a car, you should have an owner's manual, usually in your glove box. Do people still call it the glove box? I guess they do. Us older folk do. And the car runs. But if the car doesn't run, then you might want to check the owner's manual and see and figure out what's wrong. If there's something going on the hood or there's knocking under there, there may be time to consult the owner's manual. It may just simply say in the owner's manual, hey, do you have oil in your car? Something like that. And the same is true to life. If there's no peace in your life, then it's time to consult the owner's manual, the Holy Bible. And in Psalms chapter 119, verse 165, I threw a wild one on you. Many of you are at Psalms 119. Now you got to flip over two or three pages to find verse 165. Psalms 119, 165 says, those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. Those who know your word. Now go down two more verses to verse 167. Which says, my soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. That's why we love to have testimonies in our church. When we obey God's principles in life, and love God's Word, and live in harmony with the Scripture, with His Word, then there's peace within our hearts. I've discovered in my own life that when there is sin and rebellion and disobedience toward God, that's when this peace gets disrupted in my life. That's when the peace is broken. So do you want to have peace? If so, then obey His principles. Many people don't like to read the Bible because they think, well, if I open it up, it's just going to make me feel guilty. Well, you may need that in order to figure out what to fix in your life. What's going on? What's causing this? Secondly, focus on God's presence. Focus on His presence. In John chapter 14, verse 26 of our passage today, Jesus promised the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes God real to you and to me. Day by day, the Holy Spirit is our helper. He is the help that comes from the Lord. And so if you want to know peace, then focus on God's presence. A good scripture about this is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, it says, the steadfast of mind will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. And that just simply means when we should just stop gazing at our problems and start gazing on God. Why? Because the darker the night, the greater his grace. And we begin to get the focus off of ourselves, off of our problems, and off of our circumstances that we're going through, and instead we begin to focus our minds and our hearts upon Him. Sometimes you got to outrun your problems while running to the Father. Because if you don't, you're just going to sit there and let them inundate you and to soak into you. And these cause problems. Knots in your stomach to where you don't want to eat. Sleepless nights, tossing and turning. You've got to not focus on those things. And instead, I don't care if you just lay there and just praise God continually. Thank you, Father. Praise your name. Praise your name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. And just kind of get your mind off of those things. If you look at the world and what's going on around you, trust me, you'll be distressed. But if you look in yourself at all that's going on the inside of life, it can depress you. Especially during this time of year, the holiday season. But if you look at Jesus Christ, you'll be at rest. There'll be peace in your heart because He is with you forever if you are a child of His. My help comes from the Lord. That's why the psalmist wrote in Psalms chapter 46, verse 10. And as I was reading this, I love the way the Message version of the Bible states it. The Message version of the Bible states Psalms chapter 46, verse 10 by saying, step out of traffic. Take a long, loving look at me. Hello, me, your high God. Above politics, interesting that it put that word in there. Above politics and above everything. Sometimes what we are in, whether it be panic or pushed through or we're experiencing anguish in our lives, anger as well, or we're pressured or we're stressed out or we're having problems or we're having anxiety or panic attacks. Anybody have ever those things? Panic attacks, they're not fun. When we have those things in our lives, we want to run. We want to do something, even if we end up doing the wrong thing. Empty a bottle of jar Xanax or something. But the psalmist said, be still and know that I am God. Maybe some of you have, but I've never been in one. I've never been in a hurricane. But if you've been in a hurricane, then you know that in the middle of the eye of the storm, there's perfect calmness. I don't know why that is, but it just is. And in the eye of the storm, in the middle of your circumstances, you can center on Jesus Christ. This is a good time and a good opportunity for you to do that to Him. Maybe He made those hurricanes to teach us a lesson. That through your mayhem, there's still peace in the middle of the storm to do that. Focus on God's presence. Obey God's principles in the Word. And then finally, trust in God's purpose for your life. Trust in God's purpose for your life. John chapter 16, verse 33 tells us, and Jesus again offering His peace when He said, these things I have spoken to you, so that in Me you may have peace within the world. Because in the world you'll have tribulation, but take courage, though, because I have overcome the world. And then at the close of John chapter 14, verse 31, it says, but so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded Me. Get up. Let's go from here. And so sometimes we just need to place our trust in God's purpose and get up and carry on. See, the disciples were unnerved. They didn't know what was about to happen. The insecurities, the instability of their circumstances and their situations of Jesus saying that I'm almost out of here, guys. And yet Jesus says, I'm going to do the will of God. I know you guys want me to stay with you. I've got to do the will of God. He was committed to God's purpose. He trusted in God's purpose for his life. And I can tell you this about God's will, that no matter what you're going through, no matter how crazy it gets around your life and in your life, God's sovereignty is in control of your life and your circumstances. You know, you've heard people say, God's still on His throne. And sometimes we want to say, well, who's going to knock Him off? Sometimes we do in our faith. Because we don't believe God's on His throne. And the stuff that we're having to deal with. We think that He's up walking around taking a stroll somewhere along heaven. You've heard these verses before in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, especially if you grew up in Bible school or Sunday school or vacation Bible school. It says, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. We hear and read these amazing truths from God's Word, even as small as a knee-high to a grasshopper, yet how easily we tend to forget those truths. How does that happen? Well, we live in a sinful world, and the enemy likes to give us amnesia, spiritual amnesia. Because he knows if we have those verses stuck in our spirit, he knows that those are weapons against him. And so he tries to dull our minds through the pleasures of life, through the things of life, to kind of just give us a sedative over God's scriptures. Because if you're like me, you try to fix things. I constantly try to figure things out, how to fix things, mostly to my demise. But at times I tend to wring my hands and to worry through problems and pressures of life going on around me. And yet when I do that, there's disturbance. There's a lack of peace when I do this. But when I can come to a place where I can give it to him unconditionally, I discover then the peace that begins to flood my spirit by trusting in God's purpose for my life. So the question is not when I face a problem or a pressure in life, and it's not how or why did this happen, or what is happening in your life, or maybe even when did this happen. Great timing, God. It's happening now. But it's rather now. It's my choice. It's my choice, our free will, to trust in Him. My choice, our free will, to trust and to rest in Him. And your choice as well. To know that He is in control of the universe. Oh, Eric, that sounds so churchy and so wild out there. But we forget that. The God who created the universe, we have a relationship with. To know. And the same God who's in control of the universe is also in control of yours and my little piece of space in this world. He's in control. And if we'll only trust in Him to do that. To give the Master, Jesus Christ, charge over your life and charge over the decisions. For you see, everything fits into God's plan and purpose for you. Both are good, both the good and the bad that enters our life. Jesus was on His way to the cross. And even though He was on His way to the cross and a brutal death, He was still committed to following perfectly the will of God for His life. And I have discovered that indecision in life a lot of times produces stress. So it should be our goal, it should be our challenge as a Christ follower to know and then to accomplish, to do the will of God in our lives. Well, I'm glad you know that, Eric, because I don't have a clue what God's will in my life is. You will. You will if you'll only ask. And you'll only search in His Word. He will reveal it to you. God's not in the position of playing hide and seek with us. Because He's the pathway. His pathway is leading us. And He'll clear a path for both you and I. And He will direct our path. And it's not a hide and seek game. It's not a, hey, guess where I'm at today? Hope you find me. Because He said in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. You know, in things that we encounter on a daily basis that cause craziness in our life, if you don't know where you're going, then any road will get you there. Because you have no clue where you're going. But if you know Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, then you will find a pathway. And that pathway can lead to peace. It's the peace that Paul said surpasses all understanding. When you or I face a problem, the key to peace is not the end of the problem. God, help me get through this. Just get it over with, God. In other words, it's not getting over the problem. The key to peace is the beginning of faith and to trust God. This is your chance to trust Him. That is when we have real peace. The disciples probably were saying out there in the storm, just get this storm over with. Let it pass, let it pass, let it pass. It was in the middle of the storm they found their peace in Jesus Christ. Not just when the problem's over. Because that's the kind of peace the world gives. The peace that can get you through a problem, but yet it can't give you permanent peace. And so many of us today are settling for that temporary peace instead of the permanent peace. What's it going to take in your life to give it some stability so you can stand strong as a believer and have some stableness and security and serenity in your life? What's it going to take? Well-known prayer, you've heard it said before, puts it this way: God, grant me the serenity to accept all the things that I cannot change, the courage to change things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. You ever heard that prayer? Many of you have. They used to put it in a newspaper. Y'all still get newspaper? It's coming. Going by the wayside. But I know they put that prayer there many times on the front page of the Daily Oklahoman. And Jesus said, "My peace I give to you." And so what's it going to take for you to make peace with God? Are you facing anxiety, worry, or stress, along with the pressures that come with it, that are maybe unimaginable with your job, with your finances, with your health, with your marriage relationships? If so, then you're not alone. Breathe deeply of His Spirit. And whatever is bothering you, something that only you can experience, whatever you are experiencing right now emotionally or spiritually, if you'll obey God's principles, if you will live life according to His plan and purpose for your life, and fill your heart with the Word of God and the presence of Christ, if you will live in His presence and focus on His presence, then you'll know the peace that He promised. Don't fear the future. Stop living in the past. Neither of those things must have lordship in your life. Neither one. Our God is a God of timeless eternity. But He still gives to you and I one day at a time. He releases the time that you and I need to heal and to laugh and to ponder and to work and to rest and to love. And today is the God the Father's gift to both you and I. Let Him work out tomorrow's details. Don't spend time worrying about them. Because all that He asks is to be present in what is before you today. If there's details to be ironed out, do it with Him. Do it in His peace. Don't become so focused on tomorrow and what it may bring that you miss out on the grace that He's given you for today. Today is God's gift to you. Embrace it fully. So as our worship team makes their way up in closing, if today is meant to bring healing for the past, then you must submit to the healing that today gives. Don't live in yesterday's trauma. Don't yearn for yesterday's blessing that you may have missed out on. Laugh for every reason you can find today. Dance like a child. Love more intensely. Just watch the children run around the sanctuary after the service. They're having a blast. Forgive quickly and unreservedly. Time will continue to pass if you'll take it just one day at a time. His grace will meet you. So today, instead of getting sucked into the world around you, stay focused on the peace that Christ has. Because if you get sucked into today's worry and problems, even thinking about tomorrow's worries and problems, it will steal the peace that God has for you. Center your heart in His presence where it can be kept safe from the swirling chaos that goes around us. Choose Him first instead of choosing the natural thing, which is fear. If you truly want to hear from the Prince of Peace that He has to offer, just bless Him with your attention. Be more aware of what's happening to you rather than just what's happening around you. For when you and I are tapped into His peace, we become light in the dark world that's around us. We bring peace into arguments. We're able to mend division because you and I hear His wisdom and compassion. As we discover His peace that He gives, let us fight. And you may have to get alone on a silent night and make it a holy night by discovering His peace. I would encourage you, let's pray. Please join me as we close in prayer. Father, we thank you for this offering of peace that you've given us. Father, forgive us for being so easily distracted and weighed down by the things that this world keeps throwing at us. Forgive us for feeling more comfortable with fear and worry and frustration than we do with the heavenly peace that you promised. Please show us how to fix our eyes and our ears and our brain and our heart on you, Father, letting everything just crumble and fall away around us. Keep us focused on you, Lord, and everything that you've done for us. Give us peace, Jesus. Give us peace in our hearts. Give us peace in our homes and in our work. Relationships and with our families. Be with us, Father, and give us peace always and every day. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Praise your name. Holy Jesus. Holy Jesus. All that you have said.